Blog Talk Radio.
This is how we do it. Storyline always come out of it. I want to know from my co-host,
what was the biggest storyline that you noticed in the third week or the final week of the NCAA basketball tournament?
I just want to say this, Daryl E. Tuggett. There's a man in Huntsville that I now bow down to. I think he's on the line because he called this thing. Second week, third week, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. And now I follow him. That's all I want to say.
We follow him. Go ahead on, Trey.
this Coach Tremaine that was speaking right here. The tournament went exactly the way we expected it to go, as far as the one seed beating the three seed. The only way Villanova was to lose this game is as if they had a bad shoot night. That's the only reason why they would have lost. Other than that, they shot the skin off the ball. It got started a little late, but they shot the skin off it. And, I mean, it was blowout city. Michigan never had an answer. They never had an answer. In the beginning, it looked kind of confusing because Michigan was, you know, making plays. But when the Villanova Wildcats settled in there, they pulled it out. So I'm going to give kudos to the coach at Villanova. He has won two championships in 3 years. Kudos to Villanova.
And I'm going to jump in right here, Darryl, if you allow me to do this. I'm going to kind of give you my storyline, and it's pretty much from the start. The first week was great. The second week was pretty much, when I say great, I mentioned about the Pac-10 not even making it past the first week. But then the second week you had that tumbling of other people falling, with Virginia falling and several other people falling, like Kentucky, who was expected to be there after the teams ahead of them. So my storyline focused around that final. That final four was exactly like we wanted it. My idea is that we want the big three to be there, but we always want to have that one team, no one else, who might lose their slipper before long, which they did, would come into the play and made a strong push for a championship. And that's Loyola of Chicago. So we applaud them, and Sister Jean became one of the most popular person. That's the storyline, the most popular person in this tournament, Loyola from Chicago and Sister Jean being there, where they had a press conference on, I believe, Monday morning, and you had at Boeheim, which is, the coach from Michigan, had about 15 people, and Sister Jean had 115 people at her press conference at 9 o'clock in the morning. So the storyline is Loyola of Chicago and Sister Jean. That's my storyline. And, you know, we can kind of look at it, have a little thought about it, and continue to have things that may pop out throughout the week. But now we have a champion, and that's Villanova University, was crowned 2018 NCAA champion, part of what they call the Big Six. You know, we have six big conferences in basketball, five in football. So that tells you the teams that are not the blue blood don't always win it. But the question I'm going to have, and I want us to discuss, with Villanova winning two out of the last three, are they inching close to be considered a blue blood like Kentucky, Louisville, before they hit their little stumbling block, North Carolina, even the Floridas, are they considered to be blue blood? And I want us to have a little discussion on whether Villanova could be considered to be a blue blood after winning two out of the last 3 years, which is 16 and 18. And we need to get
I'll jump in right here.
Oh.
This Coach Tremaine that was speaking, I'll say this. Villanova, Xavier, let me get another, Marquette, we're always top-tier teams. Yeah, Butler, we're always top-tier teams because, as I said the last couple weeks, they have 4-year players. So in the end, they're going to come out on top. Now, you have your popular teams, which are your Dukes, your Kentuckys. Let me see who else. Louisville was one of them top tier teams. They tend
Virginia.
To get more Virginia. Virginia. I'm gonna give Virginia a 4-year team. You don't hear too
okay.
many guys leaving Virginia to go to the NBA. But
okay.
as far as the Dukes and Kentuckys, North Carolina occasionally, they're gonna get a 5-star tier athlete. So they are the most popular teams. They are the teams that we want to watch to see what these guys are gonna do on the college level. So to say Villanova and Xavier, Marquette, like you said, Butler, I think they will be blue bloods. They will always be tournament teams. I think they will always go deep in the tournament. And you got to look at this now. Even when they didn't win it, they still made noise. Them teams I just named, they made noise in those tournaments.
And exactly, Coach, you hit it on the head. They made noise. And that's what it's all about, having a team to make them noise. The thing about basketball, and we have to keep in mind, you know, they said a regular season don't mean a whole lot, but it means a lot for seeding purpose for the tournament with the 6-8 in there. However, if you have maturity, I mean individuals that are juniors or seniors, been playing together, formed this group that's cohesiveness, that they're able to put that together in these 3 or 4 years, they're going to out-mature and outplay teams who have players that are only first-year players, maybe second-year players. The players at Kentucky, the players at Duke, sometime here and there in Kansas, get one or two in there to play for them. But the point is, Arizona get one or two in there, but you notice they don't always go any further. But the thing about having those mature players makes for a difference. And that's why the tournament turned out to be the tournament I feel like that's a good tournament, made me want to watch it and many others wanted to watch. Because, be realistic, the four teams in the Final Four had mature players. Because the point guard at Kansas has been there 4 years. Point guard at Villanova, 4 years. All the players at Loyola Chicago been there 4 or 5 years. And then you come back and you look at Michigan. They have players, Raheem, Rockman, he's a 4-year player. So senior leadership and 4 years of playing is a plus. Well, since we're talking about that, can we just discuss a little bit about last week when we talked about whether they should keep the one and done or go to 2 and none? And I just want to get some discussion on that. One and done, because we see the things that have happened in the last weeks or so, or go to the 2 and done. And I just want some discussion on that.
Well, there's many ways I guess you could look at that, Daryl E. talking. When you one and done versus 2 and done, talent level is going to be your play there, number one. Longevity is going to be the number two. Sort of kind of piggyback off our co-host, you know, when we look at these teams coming in with young talent and they get grounded by great coaching and the fellow players that are there can pass along some great habits for them to play by, you find a better team coming up in the come up that gets the one and done and out. But when they have longevity or longer play time and they begin to grow, then you see in some cases 2 and done. So that's my pitch on that. What say you, Coach?
Yeah. Coach Tremaine that was speaking here.
Okay.
I'm gonna say this. I'm not a fan of the one and done because I'm in the NBA. I don't really see one and done making an immediate impact. As far as them staying at least two and a half, 3 years, I like that. Now, you know, back in the day, we tended to have, you know, a couple guys that were large enough to go to the NBA. Now, you rarely saw guards go to the NBA straight out of high school. I'm talking about big guys out of high school. But the big guys like the Kendrick Perkins, the what was the guy? Big guy went to Chicago. It was two of them. Kendrick Perkins and Andrew Bynum. These overlarge guys that are, you know, man size, 7 foot, 300 pounds, making it in the NBA. But the key to them was they were big and the game was a slow down pace game. Right now, the game is moving too fast. If you are a big and haven't developed a jump shot, you are limited in the league. You probably won't make it in the league. If you're not specializing in rebounding and don't have a post game, you won't make it in the league. Because being big just doesn't matter. Because Kendrick Perkins was just a big muscle. He was a Rick Mahomes in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Bynum had a little skill, but the game passed him on. The game passed those guys. Right now in the league, you're not looking for the big bulky guys. I'm looking for me a tall, skinny guy, got some length, long arms, that can shoot a 25-foot jumper or step back and hit a three. And I want him to finish above the rim. So it's a finesse game now. I don't think it's as far as a strength game anymore because they call it so many fouls and we crying about so many fouls. So I think the NBA has took away from strength, so we don't need the big bulky guys no more. So they might want to go transfer sports and go play football or something because they won't make it in the NBA. They won't make that million in that. That's what I got to say about that.
Thank you, Coach. But we have Coach Smith, Coach Lauren D. Smith, our other co-host that's joined us. Coach, you want to say hello, and then you jump in that conversation in regards to Villanova and the biggest story of the the final week of the NCAA basketball tournament.
Good evening, everybody. I'm going to go ahead and jump in. No need for no longer introduction. The biggest story, in my opinion, it kind of took away from basketball. See, this is one thing I don't like, and I don't know if my co-host has said this, but I don't like when your guys can declare during the tournament. So once you lose, you find it your best interest to declare on that podium, on that stage, right after you lost. I think that's, in my opinion, that's the biggest story because we've seen so many guys declare. We've seen so many guys say they're going to go but not sign an agent. So many guys say they're going to go and sign an agent. So the Villanova, I kind of already knew they were going to win. That really wasn't a big story to me, them being Michigan the way they did. I kind of thought that. But the biggest story, in my opinion, is all these guys trying to declare for the draft. And something that Coach Edwards says that I agree totally is that the one and done, I think we kind of need to get rid of that because if you got guys, prime example, Trayvon Duval, in my opinion, he declared today he's going to sign an agent, so he's gone. In my opinion, Trayvon Duval could have actually came back another year and could have got a little bit more experience, a little bit more play in the SEC. But he went ahead and declared. Now, that's somebody I think that should have stayed, like I said, another year. So that one and done is really killing more kids than it's helping because a lot of these guys end up in the G League or overseas or they don't make rosters at all. So, you know, we got to be very careful with that one and done. But that's the biggest story I see coming out of the third week of the NCAA tournament.
Can I touch right there, Coach Smith?
Yeah, jump in there. Come in, Trey. Yeah.
Duval from Duke declared in the draft? Today?
Yeah.
That's a question.
Yeah, he declared that.
Not real. Not real. That's all I have to say about this. Sir. Not real.
he's not ready. And just to kind of add to that, I think that players think that they have the eyes on the prize. The prize is that big old $20 million or $10 million or whatever money. I'm not mad with any player that leaves and go to help his family. But you definitely needs to be ready before you decide to go there. And your game has to be at level, high level, that your team, that we get some background here, where your team is sort of like depending on you being on the floor making a difference. Now, I look at Trae Young and I look at Colin Sexton, and I look at Bagley the third. I see those players and their team really relied on them and needed realized that they needed them more than just having them on the team. So they made a difference. Now they can take it to the next level. But some players that just out there and have a decent season all of a sudden want to jump straight to the NBA. I don't agree with it because I think it should be longer. I think it should be even 2 to 3 years to give these young men a chance to grow up and mature. But I'm not going to take any money. Either you're going to go to college or you're going to not go to college. If you think you can do it at 17 years old, go for it. But if you go to college, you're going to be there 2 to 3 years because it helps you, your skill, it helps you to learn and grow up. College is very important. Everybody may not go to college and be capable, but if you have an opportunity to go to college, and whatever it is, a community college, a technical college, it'll give you a chance to experience things with different people and give you a chance to kind of grow to the point where you're able to be where you need to be in life. So I'm not ever just for this jumping straight out there, not ready, because once they get out there, they're going to have some problems. Our call-in number is 347-857-4192. And if you want to add to this conversation, which is very fruitful, add to this conversation, just press 1. I identify the last 4 digits of your telephone cell number, then you'll jump in by identifying yourself and where you're located and just come with it, talk with it. And if you want to email us and you don't want to be on the live on the radio, you don't want to be where people can hear you, you can email us talkingsportsplus@gmail.com. All right, let's kind of shift gears a little bit and kind of look at a subject that's pretty much dealing with conference and dealing with the coach Jay Wright at Villanova. One of the subjects is in regards to is the Big East. That's the conference Villanova, Butler, Marquette, and Creighton, and all of them in will be considered to be the best basketball conference at this time. And I want my co-host to jump in here and just give you a thought on whether the Big East conference is considered to be the best conference at this time.
Coach Tremaine that was speaking on this subject, I disagree with that right there. The Big East is not playing basketball like the ACC conference. The ACC is playing at a top level. We'll always be playing at a top level. Big East, they're solid, but they don't have enough teams over there. I'm gonna say, I think it's how many teams in the Big East? Is it 8?
It's either eight to ten. Yeah.
And ACC is sitting at 16, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't think it's close. It's not like ACC basketball. That Duke, North Carolina corridor, it's nothing like that.
If you put up, Daryl E. talking, if you put up the ACC against the Big East and you go team for team out on the court, would Villanova, would anybody in the Big East dominate the ACC? That's a coach for you, Tremaine. That's a question for you, Tremaine. What's your outtake on it?
I'm still a firm believer. I believe in my teams. From top to bottom, I still feel like the ACC will get them. ACC is solid all the way down. I mean, I can name 4 or 5 teams that were solid this year, starting with Virginia, Duke, North Carolina, Virginia Tech, Boston College,
Florida State.
These guys was all in the mix. I mean, they was in the mix. And as far as, you know, teams from the Big East, it's sketchy. You know, you got the UConn that fell off the map, you know. I think DePaul is in the Big East.
Yes.
Trey Dunn is in the Big East. Creighton in the Big East. That, you know, they have and this Seton Hall, they have the solid. See, I'm gonna touch this right here. Back when I was growing up in the, you know, the 90s, the Big East was it. That was it. I mean, that's when Syracuse was over there. And now Syracuse is in the ACC. That's one of the top tier teams in the ACC too. Back when I was growing up, I knew the DePauls. I knew the Seton Hall. These teams were solid. They were solid when I was little. But now I don't hear much about the St. John Red Storm. I don't hear much about. I hear the UConn Huskies girls basketball, but I don't hear the guys as much. And those used to be teams that I know they loaded. I know they loaded. I know they come back loaded. They had the equivalent of the Duke and the North Carolinas back then. Because Seton Hall and DePaul were well-known names back in the 90s. Well-known. And now they unheard of.
Okay. So, Smith, you want to add a little thought to that?
Now, the Big East isn't that good. They've had a good couple of years, but we got to look at overall product. You can't look at two goods and six negatives and playing that's a good sale. That's bad marketing. When it comes to them being – the Big East being the best conference, man, no, I think it's the ACC, the SEC, the Pac-12, they fell off. But I think next year the Pac-12 should be back. After that, it's anybody's go. Maybe the Big East after that, but – you know, ACC, SEC seem to me to be the top two conferences, especially coming out of this year. SEC overall probably had the best conference. I'm gonna say they had the best conference when I talk about NCAA bids to get in the tournament. They had the more bids. They had, in my opinion, a better product to put out to even get those bids. So, yeah, Big East not even hitting close. Villanova's been trying to hold it down, but. You know, Chris Mullin at St. John's gonna have to come bring it, and whoever UConn hires, which I don't think UConn gonna be really good, in probably two more years. So, we'll see. But Big East right now, nah, they're not hitting on a quarter, a dime, a nickel, or a penny.
Coach Lauren, you got to give them just a little bit of credit. now, tell me who won the championship.
Villanova, but
So if Villanova won the championship, they have some weight in the Big East. Am I wrong or right? Some weight.
Some, all of the weight. They got all of the weight.
So there's no other team in the Big East that does not match up with Villanova.
No.
Okay, then. I rest my case. Big East is not it.
Hey, but let me take an opportunity. This is Dr. Smith talking. Let me take this opportunity to say this. If you go back and look at your stats and look at your data, you'll find out that in the last 6 years, the Big East have won 3 national championships out of 6 years. They won it with Connecticut. Under the fellow they just fired in 14, they won it in 16, and they won it in 18. That says a little bit about the Big East. I didn't say they were the best conference. I just wanted to give
that was the question.
Data.
That was the question, though. The best conference. Which is the best conference?
But and we have to say in the last 5 years or 6 years, they are the best because they won half of the championship. So if you want to base what's the best based on championship, Big East is the best at this time until somebody else do better than it. Now, North Carolina won it last year. Then I think 2 years before North Carolina, somebody else won it. But Connecticut did win it with a second-year coach who's been fired. And Dan Hurley has his job now from Rhode Island. Is now the coach of Connecticut.
Hold on. So Dr. Smith.
Uh-huh.
Dr. Smith.
Uh-huh.
I think it's 500, ain't it? Uh-huh. You did the last 6 years. So you got Villanova twice. Villanova twice and Connecticut.
Connecticut.
So you got you got North Carolina, Duke, and Louisville, right?
Yeah, that's it.
So they 50%, right?
They even that based on the championship. But we'll say it. We're just going to say basically those are the two best conferences at this time until somebody else can get in there and match up with those three conferences. I mean, those two conferences and win the championship. Somebody else. And at this point, back next year, let me throw that out with you now. Next year, if you had to pick the Final Four for the 2019 March Madness, I want each one of y'all to give me your thoughts on that, who you think will make the Final Four and who will be the number one, who you think will make the Final Four. I know we don't know about this Cinderella, but I'm just saying out of the teams you think playing with the level they played at the end of the year, what would be four teams that would make the Final Four? Then you just make a prediction who you think will win it next year, and we'll kind of know whether we're going to break this tie 3-3 or whether this is going to be somebody else new. Just give me your thoughts. Just give me your thoughts on that. Pick your four
Daryl E., I'm going to go ahead and make a fool out of myself right now.
Okay, go ahead. We all gonna do it, but we gonna do it. Yeah.
Okay, so I see Villanova being in it, and I see Loyola. I see them being back in it, even though Coach Lawrence Smith says no. But I see Kansas coming back next year. I see them coming back. They're gonna. I see them being in there, and I see one Cinderella team, only one, the real Cinderella team that nobody wants to talk about, and that's Alabama State University. Go ahead.
All right. Woo! That's what I'm talking about, D. There you go, Darry. That's your four. All right, Coach Edwards, who is your four?
Okay. I'm going to be realistic right here, Darryl Lee. I'm going to be realistic. I'm going to go Tar Heels, North Carolina Tar Heels. I'm going to go West Coast. West Coast, I would go with Kansas. I go with Kansas. Can I slash a team? Can I slash a team, Coach?
Yeah, you can slash.
Okay, okay, this is my top four. It's going to be North Carolina, Kansas slash Arizona. Either one of those two are slide up in the mix. I would give a for you. Somebody going to have an old team. So it's going to come from the Big East. It probably will be Villanova. I give Villanova back because the kid with the red hair coming back, and he's shooting the skin off the ball. And I'm going to go South. And South, I'm going to go with South Carolina. I think they get a lot of kids back, and they get a five-star recruit that has been sitting down ineligible this past year, and I think he's going to come out hungry next year. So I'm going to get South Carolina in that SEC.
Okay. All right, Coach.
Lauren, we don't need you saying, oh, my God, Lauren.
Oh, my God. How y'all not going to put Duke in the top four? Duke got three top
young
dudes in 2018 class to come to Duke.
That's why I'm not putting them. That's why I'm not putting them in there.
Come on.
Right there.
Come on, I got Duke. I got UCLA, Jalen Hammond, Sharif O'Neal coming in. Plus, you're going to get them two boys that were suspended back. You get them two back. So, I got Duke, UCLA. Let's go with if that boy down in Miami, if he comes back, which I don't think he will, I see them coming up. I don't see Villanova going back because, really, they core has graduated. The four, I got a feeling Colin Sexton coming back, so I got them.
Okay. You got Duke, UCLA, Alabama, and who else?
Miami? Yes.
Miami.
Okay. All right, let me give you my four right quick. I have Duke. I have Gonzaga. Off the West Coast, I have Villanova, and I have North Carolina. Those are my four. And
Who is North Carolina returning?
Hey, stop trying. Stop trying.
Okay. So, you know, we're making our projection early, and this show is doing it. Right or wrong, as Darryl said, we might be right, we might be wrong, but we're going to do it early. So we have done and made our Final Four pick. So our call-in number is 347-857-4192. You can call in and do the same thing. You can make your prediction for 2019 NCAA March Madness Final Four and whatever name is Fantastic Four this year. We don't know what it'll be next year, but you can. You want to email? You can email me at talkingsportsplus@gmail.com and give me your list and I'll read it off and share it with our listeners and we'll go from there. All right, we're going to kind of pick this up a little bit and we're going to do sort of like a situation looking at Villanova coach, and it's in relation to the topic that was discussed by our pundits. And our pundits said, should the 76ers want Villanova coach Jay Wright? And I want us to take a few minutes to discuss whether the 76ers will be have an opportunity to go after to improve their situation getting coach Jay Wright of Villanova. I need our discussion on that. Okay.
Tremaine, that was speaking, and I dive in on this subject. There's a difference between coaching in college and NBA. It's about control over what you're doing. I don't think NBA coaches have control over what's going on. I think they're just managers. Like, you have managers to keep everyone in line, but I think you have player coaches that do what they want to do on the floor. It's almost tough because I look at some of the most successful college coaches go to the NFL or the NBA, and they come running back. I've seen it with our great Nick Saban. He went to the NFL for a good little stint. He came running back. What's your coach from Florida, Dr. Smith? Went to the Redskins. Steve Spurrier went to the NFL for a second, came running back to college. Coach at Louisville that got caught up in the foolishness with the money, he went to the NBA for a second and came running back to college. So I think it's a control issue. Patino, I think it's a control issue with college coaches. You have more control over your college kids because you're holding something over their head. Once they get to the NBA, NFL, they get money and see money, their head's gone. They're a little harder to control then because you're making less money than them and people are paying to see them. They're not paying to see you, coach. They're not coming to see you. They come to see the players. So I think the NBA players and the NFL players run themselves. You have player coaches that, you know, leadership on team that controls the team, but I don't think coaches have a lot of say-so. It's a rare few that have a little say-so on your team that makes a difference. Because all this firing the coaches, I don't think it makes a difference. If you have the best players, you'll win, point blank. If you have the best chemistry, you'll win. Do I think Steve Kerr is a great coach? No, I think he has great players, point blank with that. Do I think Popovich is a great coach? Yes, because I have seen him win without the greatest of players. So I know his system is working, and the players are giving into his system. Now, as far as a Steve Kerr or Tyronn Lue, I can't give it to him.
All right. Coach Edwards, I'm sorry, Coach Smith.
Okay, Jay Wright to the 76ers is going to be a no-go for me. That's going to be an X. Simple reason is because the 76ers are in playoff contention this year, so why get rid of Brent Brown? That makes no sense. The 76ers are young. They'll get some draft picks. Jay Wright's system is not going to work in the NBA. Joel Embiid wants to run the show, and then if they miraculously some way, somehow get LeBron James, we all know that Jay Wright It's not going to be able to coach teams. It's LeBron James' team. LeBron James is the coach, the player, the GM. He's all of that. So Jay Wright to the 76ers, no. Jay Wright needs to stay really in the college realm. I think he can dominate if he continues his recruiting process as he has been. And I think he could be dominant again in 2 years. But I think he's going to take a two-year break because he's going to have to develop. And so that's it. So no for Jay Wright to the 76ers.
Daryl E., you know, Coach Tremaine really is, and Coach Smith as well, Lawrence Smith, both hit the nail on the head. You, one way, you know, a lot of coaches go into these big leagues and run back. So true. And Jay Wright's style of coaching, number one, I don't think it affords what Tremaine also said, that his style of coaching won't afford these big-time players to come under his umbrella and, you know, and be coached the way he coached these teams in the college level. And so with that being said, both of you, your opinions are spot on. And I have nothing more to add on that because you summed it up, both of you summed it up so eloquently. It's just not a good fit for him. That's it.
All right, that's some great conversation. Again, if you want to join the conversation, that's 347-857-4192. You can join in and just share your thoughts on that. We're going to move to spring football 2018. Basically, what are some storylines that have come out of spring football for 2018? You actually had spring games already being played. South Carolina played their spring game last weekend. Auburn played their spring game this week. And then other teams going to start falling into line. What are some of the storylines that those teams that are already playing, getting ready to play their spring game, and any other team that you have heard that's considered to be a storyline that might have a drastic effect on this team performance in the fall? So, you know, we want to discuss that. So I'll kind of start this off in regards to storylines, and we have discussed it over and over again, and we won't go into the long discussion about it tonight. And that's basically when the spring started for the University of Alabama. We know we had a quarterback battle, and then you had a quarterback to get hurt. However, competition continue on. The storyline there is that a lot of pundits is thinking, and they have made this statement that Nick Saban, which we know he will not make the decision on either one of those quarterbacks that you know of until the season started, because he has went as far as into the second game making a decision on who's going to be the quarterback, and that happened with Jalen Hurts. And you can remember when a couple of years ago when A.J. McCarron, he went into about the almost a second or third game. So some people are saying – the reason why he's not making decisions, he don't want that player to transfer it. He wants that player to stay, because if he's going to be keep him all the way to the first game or second game, then this player still think they got a chance to play and play at the level they want to play. Now, that's the storyline that I see in regards to making a decision at quarterback. And I want my co-host to kind of jump in right now and share that thoughts on whatever storyline that you have in regards to spring football.
Here's something to look out for. I'm sorry, Coach Tremaine. Daryl E. speaking. Here's something to look out for. A look ahead. You know, Georgia is poised with this new cat, Justin Fields, number one prospect in the country, which is a Georgia native. And the talk is, you think Deshaun Watson has a better arm. Wait till you see this guy. So Georgia, a look ahead. Jake Fromm has an issue with this new prospect. So, and I'm not sure if that's really what you're talking about, but I'm just looking at Georgia and how they are formulating a better team this year with the way that they're moving in. Another thing, the two-step in Tuscaloosa is going to be interesting. how that two-step plays out. And then we're talking about the possible Hurts transfer, Jalen transferring. That's still not off the table. Please pay attention to that. That is not off the table. There is still some underlying conversation about Hurts transferring. Whether it can come to fruition now or later, I don't know. But it's still the conversation on the table. Those are my things to look ahead in the SEC that I want to take this and speak about. Even though I know we're talking spring later, those things are top of my mind right now. Go ahead, Coach.
Okay.
Awesome. It's Coach Tremaine that was talking. You took the words right out of my mouth right there, Daryl, with the quarterback competition at Georgia. That's going to be a real key this year. They are saying Fields is coming in looking like, as you said, Deshaun Watson out there. So as far as Georgia, they will be a threat this year. Now, offensively, they're losing a lot in their backfield. So, and they've been posting. I know y'all been seeing the pictures of Holyfield's son, of his biceps, of him running the ball. And, you know, the question was asked to Mac Wilson, what you think about that? What Mac said made a lot of sense. He said, the bigger they are, the harder they fall, the harder I'm going to hit them, point blank. And, you know, that sent a chill through my body right there because, you know, I'm a big-time Bama fan. But touching bases on Alabama spring training, we have a lot of guys that are getting hurt. We had Jerry Jeudy got hurt this week. MCA already had surgery. He's out for the spring game, out for the spring. Raekwon Davis, ankle injury. They said he hurt his ankle goofing off the field activity, so he probably got hurt probably outside of school playing basketball or something. These guys will be really key in the in college football next year, Jerry Jeudy and Raekwon Davis. And we also got a big-time recruit at Alabama, big-time defensive lineman from California, Tavita Masika. He's a 6'1", 350-pound lineman with the wingspan of a 6'8". So they expect him real big things. They signed him late. He will be eligible to play this year. He has 3 years to play, too. And those are my thoughts on this spring. Go ahead, Dr.
Awesome. Okay. Coach Smith.
Okay, so I said we kind of missed a lot of things, but I'm going to run it down for you. Arizona State with Herm Edwards, the great Herm Edwards, I want to see what that looks like over there. UCLA in their new system, and got Florida in their new system. I want to see how that looks. The Alabama thing, you know, Nick Saban's a genius. He's gonna ride that horse till all the leagues break down. So it won't be a transfer. It won't be a transfer. It'll just be somebody either gearing up for the NFL draft or somebody just waiting another year. So that Auburn is going to be a big question mark. I do not believe Auburn will be any better than they were this year. I don't believe they're going to win as many games either. I think that running back situation is not convincing to me. Wide receiver situation has not been convincing. Jared Stidham has to show me way more. And so that's the defensive line is probably the best thing I'm looking forward to seeing Saturday. So that's that. State's going to be a good one to watch under this new leadership for a whole – this official leadership is going to be something good. Alabama A&M with the new coach that they got up there. The SWAC is going to be something good. Troy's going to be really good to watch. South Alabama should have a bounce-back season, so be very interested in watching that. So it's a lot of things that I'm looking forward to in the spring, and looking forward to hearing great things out of spring games. But we all know the injuries play a toll. Tua got hurt two weeks ago, hurt his index finger, I think, on his left hand, so he missed a couple weeks. But he didn't lose a step, I heard. So it's going to be very interesting to watch all around college football.
I like to piggyback on that, Coach.
Go ahead, Darren.
Coach Tremaine, I apologize. I'm sure you have something very
– You good.
But I just wanted to add something that we haven't really watched, and that's 22 – I think even possibly 23 now, but 22 coaching changes have come this year in college football, and a record coaching turnover in the SEC. So another thing, there is some new blood in the coach on the coaching side, and that's far more than it has ever been in many, many years, that much turnover in the coaching ranks in college this year. So I look forward to that moving forward this year. Go ahead, Coach Tremaine.
Wanted to touch bases on the Auburn situation. Auburn had two starting receivers tear ACL last week. The little white kid they have running around out there, number 33, he tore his ACL, and Eli Stove tore his ACL. They're expecting these guys back in late December. So if Auburn can make a run without these game guys, it would be great. But that one will hurt their program right there.
Yep, it will. It creates problems, but that's what the spring is for. You know, spring to find out where your players are, the durability of the players. If they get hurt, with the way our college program is set up, like NFL programs, the process, for example, you have so many coaches and specialists, and these players are getting back on the field. Proven fact with Mac Wilson breaking a foot, having surgery, and then being out there a week and a half later. So you can see that the medicine, he looked around a little bit, but he got stronger by the time they got to the championship game. And I guess one more thing I want to add, and then we're going to look at the upcoming football schedule for historical black colleges and university, because it was put out for basically ones we know of the last week or so. But one of the things about the defense in the spring at the University of Alabama is it's a defense that's going to be reckoned. Even though players, a few of them are getting bumped up, bruised up, hurt, they got so many players to replace players where last year, even at their linebacker core, they still was able to replace them with freshmen. But now they got these freshmen that are becoming sophomores and got red shirts becoming in the back. So the defense, the front seven, is supposed to be one of the best in the country. Now, let's not forget Clemson, because Clemson, none of their defensive linemen left to go to the pros. So they stayed around for their last year. So it's going to be a battle between them two programs to see, because they're ranked number one, which is Clemson in the preseason poll, and Alabama's ranked number two. So we'll look forward to the excitement. The call-in number, again, is 347-857-4192. Press 1, and you can join in the conversation. We'll identify you with the last four digits of your cell or telephone number, then we'll actually identify yourself and join in the conversation. As I stated, we want to discuss the historical black college and university upcoming football schedule, particularly one school that just finished with their schedule, and we're going to start off with that school because they have a game that's set, has been there for traditionally a long time, and they had been looking for an opponent, and they finally was able to have the schedule manipulated. That's Alabama State University, where they can have a SWAC team at that final game instead of the Edward Waters, the Miles, the Steelmans. They now will have a team that's at that level, at that division, and a conference team. I just want to get your thought on that. Co-host, tell me what your thoughts in regards to that schedule, and there are some others we'll talk about as well.
I'll dive in. This Coach Tremaine that was speaking.
Okay.
I really like the way they did the schedule this year. You know, homecoming is a key game every year. If you're playing a garbage team, I'm not going to say garbage. I'm going to say a team that don't nobody know. Your attendance levels will be lower, point blank. With them playing a team like Mississippi Valley State, they are a typical SWAC opponent, but I think people will come to that game. They will come to see it, being that it's a SWAC game. This is the best
coach,
move I've seen.
Can you, Coach, can you hold your thought?
Go,
we got a question.
Go ahead.
A couple questions here, and let me get these individuals in here. Let them share their
go
thoughts.
Go ahead, Dr.
Caller with the last four digits of 0041, tell us where you're calling from and what's your name, and share your thought on this conversation.
Yeah, this is Dexter Daniels. I actually chimed in. I wanted to respond to the conversation you guys had before about the Alabama and Georgia quarterbacks, if that's okay.
Okay, great. Come in here. Jump in here, bro. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay, so what's going on there? My opinion on the Alabama
ahead.
Quarterback. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
My opinion on the Alabama quarterback situation is I don't think Nick Saban is trying to pull the wool over anyone's eyes. I don't really feel like you have to. I think it's going to be a true competition between those two quarterbacks down to the end, and whoever comes out on top, this is going to be the starter. I think Tua knows that, and also Hurts knows that. So that's how I feel about that situation.
Brother Dexter, Darrell E., good to hear from you, man. It's a long time. It's
been a while, Darrell.
It's been a while. But let me tell you this. I keep going back to the national championship game. And Coach Tremaine added such a wonderful light to it at the end of the game that even though Tua threw the ball, I think Coach Tremaine said that it wasn't really intended for the actual receiver. I think, is that right, Coach?
Exactly. You're
anyway.
Right. It was thrown
right.
to a spot.
Thrown to a spot. But the reality is that nobody – on the opposing team was prepared for Tua to be in that game the way he did. They didn't study the films for him. And what you're saying, Dexter, I somewhat agree with, I somewhat disagree with. I feel like those two boys, if they come together, they both will be leading that team in such a way. That's what I have to add to that. Back to you, Coach.
No, I definitely agree, Darrell. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Go ahead on.
No, I definitely agree with you as well. I just feel like he's not holding out until it's too late. I think he's pretty much giving both of them a chance to win that position. I don't think he's holding out the announcer because he wants to keep both of them. I think he's just truly letting them battle it out. Whoever comes out on top, whether it's the spring or the fall, this will be the quarterback. And as far as Georgia, I think he was more of a game manager. They had a great defense, great running game, so he really didn't have to do too much all season, even though he did make plays when it counted. But whenever he had to test his arm a little bit more, I think he was exposed a little bit. And with Fields coming in as a dual threat, I think he'll definitely have a fair shot to win that position. And in order for Georgia to actually have a true chance to win the championship, I think they're going to need some speed in the backfield at quarterback, in my personal opinion.
Back to you, Coach.
Okay, that's awesome. Dexter, we appreciate you calling in. And if you want to continue to listen on the line, you have the mic open for you if you want to have some other discussion and any thoughts and share some thoughts with any discussion we have. You can, Dexter. But we have another caller. We want to move to our next caller. Our next caller with the last four digits of 1777. Chime in, jump in, any topic we can discuss, you can talk. That's 1777.
Hey, guys, how we doing tonight?
Fine to you.
Hey, no doubt. I mean, we can cover the last three topics real quick. You got the Nick Saban factor. You got the factor that I'm so exhausted from the last college football season that I need a recharge error. And, I mean, it's basically blah, blah, blah until July, August. So, I mean, mad props to ASU. They have created a beautiful facility in Montgomery, Alabama. And I hope they do good. Mad props to Lee High School and all my buddies there. And mad props to, I guess, Nick Saban. I mean, he did win it. And I think that's your recap of the night for me anyway. But let me tell you a story. I'm sitting in a bar, not really a bar, a restaurant bar with my wife. We're out on a Friday night, And, you know, you got the TVs at the bar. It's sports, right? It's football. It's basketball. It's March Madness was last weekend. You know, you got on the side when it's golf. And I'm looking up or watching, and on the main screen in the restaurant, ESPN is showing a professional cornhole tournament. I'm like, are you kidding me?
True story.
I'm watching dudes with, like, shirts and pants on that have sponsor logos on them being paid to throw cornhole. Are you kidding me? Can we not have anything sacred? First of all, cornhole's cool. It's fine, but now I hate it. But you're going to sponsor cornhole and not horseshoes? Horseshoes is the original backyard, grab a beer, get your buddies together, throw some horseshoes. We're talking about a beanbag like my four-year-old can throw. So, I mean, what is this? Have we forgotten the backyard, you know, get off the internet, Xbox, let's go back, build a bonfire and throw some horseshoes? I mean, cornhole on ESPN. Shame on you, ESPN. Shame on you, everybody that hates Nick Saban, and RTR Roll Tide. We love you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, and we thank you for joining us, because we want this kind of conversation. So just make sure you call again. See, his call has dropped, and I do appreciate it. And as well as Dexter, we appreciate you calling in as well. And stay with us online, because I have you still live. We're just going to have one more topic, if we allow to do it, in regards to my co-host. One thing has happened, and I always have a problem with this, because we had a discussion about this recently. And it was dealing with professional players acting as their own agent. This is in regards to Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson, as we know, the Heisman Trophy winner of past 2016, Lamar Jackson hired his mother to represent him as a agent. My thought and my question, let me say my question, is this a good idea? And then what are the pros and cons of Lamar hiring his mother as the agent? And I want some discussion. And like I said, join in, everybody. We have had a call on there. I think he has dropped as well, but we appreciate it. But my co-host, I want us to kind of share some thought on that. Lamar Jackson hired his mother to represent him as an agent.
Well, Daryl E., I got a question, because I don't know the story, but how is she doing as the agent?
I tell you the truth, she's doing very well, because she's beginning to look out for his interests, where her problem with the agent and everybody who's flocking around him, you kind of have to know the situation down in Fort Lauderdale, down in South Florida. There's an individual he always recognized as being a trainer and helping him get where he is, has a little background in NFL as well, but he's a trainer. But the mom has felt like all the people she talked with as financial consultants and agents was not looking out for her son's best interest. And I think that has created that, say, I can do a better job. But who can do a better job for their own child than their mother? So that's the thing I want to kind of put a little background, and we can go from there.
I can go ahead and chime in on it.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, you know, your parents representing you in any fashion, anyway. I really do believe that's your best option, because, you know, your parents always have your best interest at heart, and they always trying to look out for you. And like they say, your parents know when people ain't right. So, you know, you might need to listen to them the first time so you won't have to learn the second. So with him having his mom represent him, I'm pretty sure his mom has been, you know, taking classes, sports management classes. She's not a dummy when it comes to this. So I see nothing wrong with this. If he didn't think that she was qualified or could do it, I'm pretty sure he wouldn't let her do it. But I think it's a good idea. Now, he might need to hire his cousin as his publicist, because they out here saying the man needs to be converted to a wide receiver. So So he might even have Pookie and them try to get on there and talk for him, tell him what to say, but Pookie and them won't get it right.
All right, yeah. All right, Pookie, them. All right, yeah. Go down with
Well, I'll be the first to tell you, Coach.
Okay.
Well, I'll be the first to tell you, Coach, that I think Lauren is right. Who can represent you better than someone who actually knows you and your best interest inside of your own family? If she's a professional and knows how to go in and negotiate and get things right, I would have my mother there in a heartbeat doing that for me if the situation were for me. So I'd have to say that you know, kudos to the mother for knowing the business. And and when you get Pookie, make sure you get Charlene in there to run her mouth as well.
Get them all in there. And it kind of jump in with that as well. I kind of add a little bit more light to the situation. As I stated, that the mom felt like she can do it. Now, she have been advised by many people. She also has a financial consultant as well as. The only thing that our talking pundits and talking heads have been saying is that he may not get the best opportunity financially by having his mother not having an agent. Now, I disagree with that because, again, as I said earlier, his mom is for his best interest. A lot of times the agent is for his own best interest, but he also make it possible for you as well. It's a good chance that everybody is talking about him converting from being quarterback to wide receiver. He's saying that he can be wide receiver. Someone going to take a chance on that. I'm sorry, quarterback. He can be quarterback. We correct that. And someone's going to take an opportunity to give him a chance to develop himself as a quarterback because you can't take away what he gives you. He may not have the greatest arm. That's why I say a lot of quarterbacks don't have great arms. But I would rather have a quarterback that can hit a few throws but make his feet be a threat where your defense cannot forget about him being on the field. And that's one of the things the NFL is turning to. Watson brought the same thing, or Baker Mayfield's going to bring the same thing, or you got other quarterbacks that's already up there. RG3 had the same thing, but he just couldn't stay healthy. So the flight of the quarterback is changing in the NFL. And it's changed where it's no longer where you got a drop back quarterback standing back there, can't move and can't get out of those situations that makes him uncomfortable. You have to have somebody that's able to make, and plus the run option pass that the NFL is moving to allow quarterbacks that have strong legs and just decent arm to do that, to be able to put pressure on the defense. So his mom is looking out for his best interest. He wants to be a quarterback, and other agents are recommending different. So it's their choice, and whatever flight that Lamar Jackson wants to go, I applaud him and his parents and his entourage, the Pookies or whoever it is that's joining him in this challenge, and I applaud them, and I look for great things out of Lamar Jackson. All right, we're at the point now that we're about to wrap this show up. And I want my co-host just one last thing that we did talk about, and it's been talked about. Just give me a couple thoughts on it. It's in regards to should LeBron James, and everybody know LeBron James, threaten to sue the University of Alabama for copyright infringement regarding the shop talk or the barbershop talk, but here's it called uninterrupted. Co-host, y'all give me some thoughts on that.
I'll give you some thoughts on that. If it's not called the same thing, if it's not called the exact same thing and they're not doing the exact same thing, then he should sit down somewhere and go somewhere. There are no more original ideas out here on this earth. And who's to say where he got it from? So, again, no, he should not be suing the University of Alabama or any university that's doing something similar to that. I'll give you an example. You can come out with a tennis shoe. You can come out with a tennis shoe that's designed like a car for a kid. And tomorrow you can come out with that same kind of tennis shoe that's designed like a Ferrari for a kid. Well, the original idea is you can't have a car designed tennis shoe. Well, no, you don't have that patent. You have your shoe patent. So that's kind of how that works.
Exactly. But that's awesome there. Awesome there. Coach Smith.
Yeah. Why is he worried about what they're doing at the University of Alabama? He needs to be worried about trying to get his team in a top four seeding for the playoffs and let them stay there. He worried about the wrong thing. That's why this is my whole thing with LeBron James. His focus is never where it should be when it's time for his focus to be there. Why are you worried about what they call in their shop? You ain't the first person that came up with that. You ain't going to be the last person that came up with that. Common sense will tell you, okay, they doing something down here. They got the same idea I got. Well, let me go down here and invest in it. How about you put some money into it? And then you have a say-so in it. Right now, you're just talking out your head. Ain't nobody really listening to you. So I believe, like you said, the lawyers will handle it. It'll be over and done with before we know. It won't be a talk about nothing. The playoffs about to kick off April 15th. He need to focus his attention there.
That is awesome. Thank you. That's quick and sweet. I appreciate my co-host for just jumping in on that topic. No, we're at the end of the show, so I want us to say goodbye and share any thoughts we have to end our show. Again, if you want to always call in, even though if you didn't get a chance tonight, that's 347-857-4192. Be ready for the show next Wednesday, and you can do the same thing. But we're about to close it out tonight. Co-host, share your thoughts as we close out now, and we'll call it a quitter in a little bit.
Daryl E. here. At 3:20 a.m., I'll be up going to work. I love y'all. Good night.
We love you too, Dad. Frank, we love you too. Go ahead on, Coach.
Yeah, let's go ahead and get into it. For the people around Montgomery, we get to say goodbye to one of the coaching legends around here. Coach Posey, Jeff Davis, has announced his retirement, so he'll be going to the house. That seat is open. Congratulations to Coach Courtney Ward from Lanier. Now she's at Pike Road, coaching at Pike Road. Much success to you, Coach Ward. Started at AAU next weekend. We got a Montgomery City Fest date, time, all that's going to be coming to you next week. Y'all stay safe, stay blessed. Have a sober and safe weekend. That's it. That's all I got for the folks.
Oh, and I thank my co-host for being with me tonight. You know, he's always spirited. We're very excited. And we always stirring up conversation that causes you to say, So we want to thank you for joining us again. Now, on Monday night, we'll have our Thursday night show, which is Talking Real to You. And we have a special guest scheduled to come on Monday night at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. So we look forward to having you with us on Monday night. We want you to have a great weekend. You know, just like as the co-host said, that's not here. That's Coach Tony Stallworth said, and I always have to say that. Take the day, don't let it take you. And my famous thing is hashtag keep on grinding. So have an awesome rest of the week, an awesome weekend. We'll have you on Monday night if you take an opportunity to call in on Monday night to talk it real to you. Myself and Coach Lauren D. Smith are the hosts of that show, the hosts and co-hosts. It's the only father and daughter team in talk radio. So you can call in then and share your thoughts on social, economic, political issues that's going on in your areas, as well as financial issues. So join us on Monday night, and we look forward to having you here. Then next Wednesday, we'll be back again, and we'll have a fantastic Wednesday. So you can join us again. The number is, again, 347-857-4192, and the web link is www.blogtalkradio.com/LD Smith Production. Have a wonderful night, and we look forward to talking with you again next week.
Again, check. get your record, let's begin. Party on, party people, let me hear some noise. EC's in the house, jump, jump, rejoice. There's a party over here, a party over there. Wave your hands in the air, take the dairy, yeah. These three words, when you're getting busy. Whoop, there it is, hey, man. You folks, what it's all about. Now it's time for us to get on the mic and make this party hot. I'm taking it back to the old school, cause I'm an old fool who's so cool. If you wanna get down, I'ma show you the way. Boom, there it is. Let me hear you say, rock a mic, uh-oh, I crave skin, rip, find a honey, dip it in, slam dunk it, stick it, flip it and ride that B-double-A